if there was ever a draft that's important to a new regime, it's the very first one. Because those are the players that are going to carry you by the time you get to the, you know, the third, the fourth, and certainly the fifth year of complete change. I mean, that's when you got to start to see the results of that first draft.
This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. I'm Brian Sexton along with Jeff Lugeman. Tony Boselli is here. Joe Fortunato alongside. John Osher is where? In Oregon?
He's in Oregon with Patrick, our shooter. I don't want to misquote.
Nike's headquarters is in Oregon.
They're in Nike's headquarters. They're getting a look at new uniforms and things like that.
Now, have they announced that date? Does everybody know it? I mean, we know it. Have they announced it?
I don't know of a date.
I don't know of a date
either. I do. Okay. It's not too far away.
Okay.
We'll just leave it at that.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'll tell you at the break. But I don't know if that's official yet, so I'll hold off. Although I've been asked if I can help him see it.
One
so
thing's guaranteed.
It's on my calendar.
Nike's going to knock, try to blow the doors off. I mean, it's just the way they are. I mean, they're not going to do anything that's just subtle.
Yeah, there's nothing subtle about them.
No.
Nothing at all.
You know what I look forward to?
What?
I mean, the uniform's great. I'm looking forward to the draft being over and mini camps. We can talk some football about some.
We're going to talk some football.
Oh, I know we are.
We got veterans voluntary camp, which means be there or you're gone.
And from what we,
it's back to the old days.
Voluntary. It's what it is.
Well, how many guys are they going to have there? 55, 58, something.
Everyone
like
is
that?
On the 53. Roster.
53 is.
I think
all
it's 53.
Got. That's well, a whole lot less than would have been at this mini camp a year ago.
Well, unless they sign some guys. I mean, Masqua got signed this week. The wide receiver out of Cleveland.
I think he makes 53.
Okay.
So
I'm not sure.
There's
but
probably
my point
be about
is
20 less than training camp.
And my point is saying that I've been a little bit of a smart aleck. I'm excited for the jersey. I'm excited for all this stuff. But I think that, and I know, talking, the fans are excited about football. They're excited about the draft, find out who they pick. I mean, that is what every fan is talking about. Excited to hear about what happens when they get back on the field. I mean, there is, I think this time every year, football has become such the passion of this country. Year-round that people start jonesing for football and more news. And it's really a dead period a little bit because you have the free agency, really, which was not much this year around the entire NFL because of the cap. Not much news, not many big signings. Yet the combine's right before that. But then you have this kind of pro-day workout period where no one's really telling you what they think or what the truth is out there because every GM and head coach is playing poker right now. And so, really, the next big event is the draft comes up in a couple of weeks, which I'll be in London. You guys will be covering here. That's when you start – the juices start flowing because
– for the on-the-field stuff.
On the field comes.
But right now, the off-the-field stuff with the NFL is the concussion litigation that is really hitting national news.
That is.
Are you following that closely?
I mean, not closely, but I'm reading what's coming out about it. And, I mean, me and Tony have talked about this before. I mean, there are some guys that really have legitimate concerns, and then you look at the number that are on that lawsuit.
I would argue
it's over 3,700.
The guys who probably have real concerns, and I don't want, and I'm going to say this in some way, I mean, because I've said this before, and all of a sudden Twitter says, I don't care about ex players and all this stuff, but it's a small percentage of guys with real issues. I mean, that's my estimation. I could be dead wrong. But the lawsuit is not – the lawsuit is very simple.
Unfortunately, with lawsuits, you have a frivolous side of it.
Yes.
And I think that side of it takes away from the legitimate side.
But they go out and they recruit.
And that's the problem. And they recruit people.
Yes,
and then there's guys that – I've heard ex-players, I'm not going to say their names, that have joined the lawsuit and have no issue. Right. But I might someday.
And if there's money on the table,
and there's money,
you
so
can
it's
write
a,
me a check too.
It's a money grab. So everyone, these lawyers say get involved because if there's a settlement, the only way you can get any cash, you're one of the guys on the class action suit. To me, it boils down to one thing. It boils down to, did the NFL know there was an issue and they hit it, But that's what the players are saying, and that's what the players' lawyers are saying, is they knew there was concussion issues, and they did not disclose it and hid it, and their doctors or the people around it hid the information from the players. The NFL saying, as we've learned stuff, we have disclosed it. And we are in a – this is a process of we are getting – the science is ever evolving, information is ever evolving around the topic, and it obviously is on our radar now. But, you know, it isn't, and the players are saying, well, number one, it should have been, and number two, we think you did know something, didn't disclose it. And if they can prove – if they can prove the NFL and the teams had information about the dangers and the side effects and the long-term effects of concussions and did not do anything about it, well, then that's not good.
And then the other bad news, I guess you could say, coming out for the NFL is the Fred Dreyer and company arguing about the former players that had issues with their likenesses being used. I don't know if you guys had seen any of that.
I haven't followed that.
That's a properties issue more than
anything. Yeah, it's more what they were doing was basically using the likeness of former players on different things, video games and such. And
so, in other words, the fearsome foursome where Dreyer might have been as part of that.
And they weren't getting their – and listen, they should pay those guys if they're going to use them.
So that's an issue that's going on, and Fred Dreyer and some of the members that were named in that lawsuit aren't happy with the settlement.
Well, there's a time for business and there's a time for play, right?
Well, and I don't know where you stand on it, Jeff, on the whole concussion thing. Listen, if they use people's likenesses,
I just
told you where I stood on.
I just think the frivolous side of it.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying
takes away from the legitimate side.
I get about that, but what it comes down to, the issue is not whether guys have had issues. Because of concussions, that's fact. I mean, there's certain guys.
Right.
I don't think it's a huge percentage of people who play the game of football that have these issues. I mean, I just don't see this mass group of people who played the game with long-term effects.
What
that
about
are
this?
Serious. But the issues is, did the NFL know? I, for one, and I have no proof for this or any – this is just my guess. I don't think the NFL – I have a hard time believing the NFL had all this information and was hiding it from players. It's too big of an organization. There are too many smart people. Paul Tagliabue, who is the commissioner, was a lawyer, if I'm not mistaken. He's too smart. Pete Rozelle was a brilliant individual. I think I just don't think they hid stuff.
Well, here's the thing that I have. Hey, look, I got called about being on that lawsuit. I'm like, what? Yeah, and my biggest issue with it is that if there was information out there, wouldn't that information be released from a medical report?
Absolutely. Right. I'm with you, Jeff. I just don't buy it. I think
you're right. And I want to go down this other road real quick. And that is that there are a lot of people who are listening that are saying football causes concussions. Of course it does. Don't they know? When you play the game,
activities can cause concussions.
Exactly.
Women's soccer actually causes more head injuries than football.
But I get so many people that ask that and they go, well, wait a second. Hold on. Before they file the lawsuit, don't they know when you put a helmet on your head that you have a chance of getting a
concussion?
But
that's not what they're arguing. Their argument is
that there was medical data. That
there was data that was not shared with them, so they did not know the risk.
That was
going
to show them what they already knew?
That
concussions?
No, the risk. I don't think anyone knew the long-term effects of concussions. I think everyone knew you got concussions, but it's the question of the long-term effects. Here's my whole problem with it, and I would love to give truth serum to the 4,000 people that are on this lawsuit and ask the question, if you would have known that there was a chance of long-term side effects from concussions, would that have changed whether you played a game that paid you a lot of money or not? And I have a hard time believing that any of them would answer, oh, yeah, I would not have played football if I'd have known that there was long-term.
Well, the answer is in guys that have pulled their name out of the lawsuit that have re-signed with a team.
I mean, it's
I mean,
right. Yes. I mean, and this
ultimately,
is,
that is all
and
you
so
need to
all,
see.
Everyone can think, I have a huge problem with the lawsuit, a huge problem. And I actually go back, this is where I wish the union and the owners could get on the same page. Let's take care of the guys that have issues. Let's address the real problem that there is a handful of guys that have real issues because of head injuries, and let's take care of them and give them the best possible help, no matter what the cost is, not just to line their pockets with money, because too often that's what it's about. Let me see how much money I can get.
You know,
let's take care of them.
This reminds me of the debate about the war on drugs and the people that say spending billions and billions and billions of dollars being in the jungles down in South America fighting it doesn't work. But if you would treat the folks up here and kill the dependency, you could win the war for a much lower cost. That's basically what you're saying.
Well, I just think there's
if you treat the people,
take care of the people,
right?
But all these other issues, and I don't want to get on the soapbox.
You can't, because the media has gotten a hold of it.
You're always on a soapbox,
well, Tony. Well, because then it goes, because the media gets a hold of it. I think the lawyers take advantage of it. They and I've read these articles, and there's even in books now, of they name the handful of guys who've killed themselves. And it's tragic. I mean, it is tragic. But it's tragic that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this country kill themselves every year. It's a tragedy that someone would get to that point where they take their life. But we all of a sudden, because individuals who, some individuals, a small percentage that played a game of football, happen to be in that group of a larger population of every walk of life that kill themselves, now we're saying we want to jump to all these conclusions. Let's really take it. Let's look at the issues of post-career transition and health issues, which is including concussion, but financial issues, relational issues. How about dependency issues on drugs that a lot of people struggle with? And so that's my problem with it. That's my problem with the lawsuit, because I don't think it's about really let's really solve the problem and make sure guys are taken care of. It's about how much money can the lawyers get, and how much money can I get, even if I don't have one dang issue as a player, as an ex-player, how much money can I get from it? And I have a problem with that.
The phone calls you would get, were you interested in joining the lawsuit? Four. I mean, come on.
Right.
Anyway, that's
my
phone.
It's an impassioned issue. And
I have a problem with it, because what these guys, I don't think what people understand. And I really have a problem with what Jeff just said. It just irks me that guys were on the lawsuit, drop their names off the lawsuit, and then go play again. Are you a hypocrite? That is ridiculous that you would do that. Because what you're doing, the game that was good to all of us, and I'm not saying it's perfect, and I'm not saying the NFL is perfect. They have made mistakes, and there's certain things I wish were different about how we take care of some of the older players and guys who really get later in life and struggle. In a billion-dollar business, I think there should be an answer for that.
I think it's $6 billion.
I think it's $9, actually.
It is, and it's on its
way to 18.
Is it on 9?
Yeah,
wow.
It's 9.
And so I'd hope we could figure that. I'm not some apologist for the NFL, but I have a real problem when we start thinking how much the money grab, as I call it, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but we're hurting the game. We're affecting the game that was good to us, and I have a problem with that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. More Jaguars This Week live from Everbank Field on News Talk WOKV. Depend on it.
Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Check them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better.
All right, Joe, thanks. Metro PCS call-in line open, 800-355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You know, we're all going in different directions all the time during the week, and we get together on Wednesdays. Have you guys had much of a time or much of an opportunity to spend around Gus Bradley yet? I know you were with him Saturday at Rhythm and Ribs in St. Augustine. Logs, have you?
A little bit.
Okay.
I mean, not a ton.
Have you heard him
but
speak?
But not in a public environment where he's speaking, but... Okay.
I saw him last Friday.
The reviews that everybody talked about from the player standpoint loved when he got up in front of the team.
So Monday, I was the auctioneer, host MC at the Traditions, which is out of TPC for St. Vincent's Hospital, the foundation. And Gus Bradley was the guest speaker, which kind of surprised me. A couple of weeks before the draft, you're asking him to come in, and he came in and he said, I've got to get my PowerPoint over to the guys that were running the media table. And I thought, PowerPoint, wow, okay, so he's got something planned. And when he stood up and started his speech, I had no idea what to expect. By the time he was done 20 minutes later, he had delivered a version of the speech that he gave the team. And you probably read the same comments that I did, that the players were excited, it was full throat, here we go. I got to tell you, I've never seen anything like it.
Well,
I was totally blown away by his delivery, by his message, by the way that he interacted with the crowd, and most importantly, the way the crowd responded to him.
Well,
it was awe-inspiring. He was phenomenal.
I've got to spend some time with him here and there, a little public, but forget the public side of it. The first 2 days he was here, I got the opportunity to sit down with him for 45 minutes, 30, 45 minutes, just the two of us. And I left that meeting saying, "Boy, I'd like to play for him." I mean, you get like, I don't know, goosebumps. I mean, I don't want to over dramatize this, but you get the sense that as an ex-player, it's like, I mean, sign me up. Where do I enlist for this guy?
If you had asked a couple hundred people that were sitting in nice clothes inside that room up at TPC, they would have said, "Sign me up." That was how good he was.
I think the important thing is when you talk to him, whether it be in a group setting or an individual setting. And Tony, you can give your comments on it, but you know, I like it when I get the impression that somebody is genuine and real. They look you in the eye. And it doesn't seem like there's any kind of ulterior motive. He's, you know, the person's genuine. That's kind of the impression that you get from him. I mean, you know, and Pete Carroll was very similar when Pete Carroll was my defensive coordinator in New York. And that Pete had a real exuberance about him, but it was a genuine. It wasn't something that was manufactured or that you got the impression that it was fake. And I think he's got a lot of that in him, but a little different than Pete.
You know, part of his presentation was his personal philosophy. In 20 words or less, he talked about that at his introductory news conference, that Pete said, "What's your personal philosophy?" And he developed it after listening to Gene Stallings speak back in 92. The first three words of his, and I can't remember it all. I will know it all, but I don't yet. The first three words of his personal philosophy, Jeff, was a genuine appreciation. Mm-hmm. So what you just hit on, what you've been talking
about. Well, and you talk. I think leadership, and I we all think this. This isn't some novel concept or groundbreaking idea. Leadership is one of the most important things, is the most important thing in any organization, any family, any business, any of it. And great leaders have to be able to instill trust in the people that follow them. And to instill trust, you have to be genuine. And when you establish trust with people who are following you, those people, those individuals will go much further and exceed what they think they can do because they trust the leader, what he's saying, and they want to follow him.
Because, you know, we all believe that Tom Coughlin was a great leader. But he was different. But he was genuine. I mean, genuine can apply to a lot of different personalities. You know, and Tom was genuine. He was a genuine pain in the ass sometimes. But he was genuine.
Well, you trusted him.
You trusted him completely.
Because you knew he was that way all the time.
Because he was upfront and genuine and honest. And that's all you want, William, from a player standpoint. That's the thing that motivates players, in my opinion.
If it's me, and I'm sure, I mean, Mark Lamping brought him out, got him engaged. And they obviously brought him to St. Augustine. The more people that get a chance to hear Gus's message and hear the genuineness that you're talking about, right, the better off this franchise will be because they will see, just like the players.
Got to win.
And, right.
Just got to win. Well, you got to win, baby.
But he needs time, obviously.
But
I'll
say this.
What I'm saying is I think people will give him time if they hear him.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Gus Bradley and his staff, I don't know how talented we're going to be this year. They're
going to get the most out of them.
He will get more out of that group than that group thinks they can give. And that's what great coaches, great leaders do.
I'm telling you, if you get a chance to hear him do that, Logs, you've got to see it. It is so funny.
The famous lines of Al Davis, just win, baby.
Right, you're absolutely right. But we all know it's going to take a little bit of time. And the patience level with this coach, if more people hear him, will be much higher. Joe, with that, I will pass it along to you, and you'll send us to the news.
Oh, thank you, BS. Hey, join the Jaguars as they host the 19th annual Bud Light Draft Party. It's presented by PRI Productions, 6 to 9:30 Thursday, April 25th. That's the same night as the draft. There's also a select-a-seat event. Sales staff will be here to help you with new seat purchases. Admission is free. Parking is free. For more info, visit Jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Thank you, Tiffany. This portion of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Brian.
All right, Metro PCS call-in line open, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. A couple of weeks away from the draft. 2 weeks from tonight, we will do our annual mock draft. I don't know how we're going to do that with Baselli out of town.
Well, you'll make it.
Are we going to do it the night before the draft, are we going to do it the week prior?
Well, we've always done it the Wednesday night before the draft.
Okay.
But, you know, we're open to change here. The problem is next week I'm going to be emceeing the One Spark downtown.
Yeah.
And so
we can get the big man involved.
We'll get
his picks.
And we'll go through it.
Well, if you want to call me in London, get it cleared with the management that you can make an international call.
Hey,
forgiveness than permission.
we'll just make the call and see what happens.
You guys are going to call me Thursday night on the draft. We talked about that.
Just out of curiosity, you know, we're talking about you being in London for the draft.
Right.
And John's in
with
New
Sky
York.
Sports. And is this for television? Is this in a public place?
It's television. So what Sky Sports is going to do, how I understand it, and I'm talking to them tomorrow, is they're going to cover. They're going to carry the ESPN live coverage. And then during breaks, they're going to go to us in the studio at Sky Sports to talk about it in more detail about what teams are doing and what's going on.
And then
I believe it's going to be Jaguar heavy because
they're playing there.
One thing I'm just curious about is because the NFL draft has become almost like a, I don't want to say cult following because it's bigger than that now in this nation. You know, how big is it over there in Europe and London in particular?
Well, it's big enough where Sky Sports is going to cover it. Now,
I mean, that is the number one sports network over there, right?
Yeah, yes. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, the draft starts at 8 here?
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock.
Which is 1 a.m. in London. Yeah. So I guess it's going to be an overnight show.
It depends on how many Americans are sitting in London dying for NFL football, I would imagine. I mean, well, it's like NFL Europe. In Germany, it roared.
Yeah.
The rest of Europe, okay.
Well, and you talked, and I've talked to some of the people over there getting ready for this. It's growing. I mean, the interest is growing. And obviously, it's, you know, it's overnight, but it's big enough where they're going to spend the money to get me over there and do coverage.
Well, that's at least one first-class seat, right?
Well, I drive a hard bargain.
Did you get first class on the way over there?
That was negotiated in.
Yeah, very nice, very nice.
Big man needs a big seat.
Yes.
Hey, Jaguars, as we work our way towards that, not sitting back and doing nothing. Mohamed Mosakoi signed last week. Obviously, the Jaguars are still hunting and pecking, and it is a buyer's market out there, is it not?
Well, I mean, it is, but, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, the numbers that were reported on that deal are one of the more pricey numbers of any free agent the Jaguars have signed so far.
So, you obviously, know, so, well, there was some competition
but
for
him. Yeah. He fits the demographic of what they're doing. Young, still a lot of upside. I believe he was a second-round pick when he came out.
In 2009.
He has had some injuries last year. Has not played with a good quarterback
in
Cleveland.
That's
and so I think they see him as a upside player, young player, that can add to the receiving core of Justin Blackmon.
I mean, if you were a general manager and you were going to say, okay, I want to find a young wide receiver. How can I find a young veteran wide receiver? First thing to do is to look at teams that have poor quarterback play.
Exactly.
Because you're going to save more money by going after a guy that's been in a system that has a quarterback that has not played very well. And the receiver, obviously, his dependence upon the performance of the quarterback is key to his performance. So, I mean, that's the first place you look. And so hopefully he's going to be one of those Keenan McCardell types. You know, I mean,
do you remember, and this is a great story. When Keenan showed up.
Kind of hard to live up to that.
I was going to say, I'll take 90% of that. 80%
yeah, absolutely.
Of that.
I don't know whether people realize, but when Keenan first showed up for the first minicamp, he was less than overwhelming. I mean, he was less than underwhelming in many cases. He dropped almost everything. It was a rainy weekend back in 96 when they had it. And so I can remember somebody saying as we were walking in, oh, who's going to explain this one to the owner, right? Like, uh-oh, we made a mistake. And that came from someone on Tom Coughlin's coaching staff. And then he turned out to be tremendous, as we all know. So
Keenan was never one of those guys, though, that was going to impress you
on the practice
without pads or on the practice field, because the guy simply was fantastic on game day because he had, you know, guys that impress with shorts are usually the guys that are fast. You know, but then all of a sudden when you get the pads on, the game slows down for everybody a little bit and increases for a select few. And Keenan was one of those guys where it picked up. His play got better in pads because the guy was simply a fantastic route runner.
Well, and he said
the ultimate competitor.
He's one of the rare guys, as you said, Jeff, that I think was faster in pads.
Because, you know, Jimmy Smith. I mean, when Jimmy ran the 40, what did Jimmy run the 40 supposedly in?
He was a 4.34 guy.
I don't think so.
No,
I think he was 4.5.
I think he was high 4.4s in that area.
He was right around 4.5, but he played the game
4.2.
At an elite speed. I mean, that's how some guys are when they put the pads on. Some guys get faster and some guys don't.
The best example of that is arguably one of the greatest players that ever played the game was Jerry Rice. not a fast 40 time either, you know, decent. I mean, good speed, but not a blazer.
But he would outrun guys.
He never got – didn't get caught from behind very often.
But anyway, I think it's a good signing, a young wide receiver. You know, it's got a lot of upside because he really hasn't had a quarterback throwing the ball in Cleveland and Muhammad Massaqua.
And, does he have a role or can he do it all? Can he play both sides?
Well, I think he probably could play either position, but slot is his specialty, I guess. You know, that's what he played a lot in Cleveland. But, hey, look
– he's a big slot.
You don't bring a guy in here saying he's going to only play slot. He's got to learn multiple positions. He's a veteran guy, so he's probably going to be able to learn both and back up both possibly and then really focus in on the slot position when you go to three wide receiver sets. But
well, we say backup. I promise you this, Gus Bradley's not thinking that way. He
competition.
He told him, you can be a starter here.
Come in and compete.
Just like anybody else.
That's the way it's supposed to be. You come in and you compete and you earn your time and you earn your pay. And it's a short contract. Was it a two-year deal?
Yeah.
Two-year deal, so – have they done anything past 2 yet? I mean, I think everything is right around 2 years, if it's not one.
I was going to say, 2 is a long-term deal.
I
right
mean,
now.
It really is.
Take it and run.
You know, that's good for the type of player that they're targeting. I mean, if you're a general manager, first of all, it's very little risk because you're not talking a lot of years, you're not talking a lot of money. But from a player standpoint, it also gives them a great carrot dangling in front of the cart, so to speak. And, hey, look, if I play well on this short contract, there's a better payday in my future.
Especially because he'll still be a young receiver.
And, hey, look, I hate to say this. I mean, some guy's motivation is money. And
you know
if that's what it takes, money, then God bless you. Whatever it takes to get you motivated. If it's money, it's money. If it's glory, it's glory. If it's fame, it's fame.
Well,
whatever. Whatever it
listen.
Takes.
I think every person walking around likes to make more money.
I was just about to say, I'm not against that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It's a great American way.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, let's take a break and make some money for this fine radio program. Joe?
Hey, you know what? You can make some money, too, just by referring friends with our Refer a Fan program. It's designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more info and joining the Refer a Fan program, just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. I do want to remind you one more time, the Bud Light Draft Party presented by POI Productions happening from 6 to 9:30 in the evening, Thursday, April 25th. That's draft day, of course. It's also a select-a-seat event. Interested in a new seat purchase? We'll have people out there to help you out with that. Parking and admission is free. You get to meet the brand-new 2013 WAR and have a great fun. Hang out with your friends, Brian.
All right, Joe, thanks. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. I was just during the break perusing through Twitter and saw that...
Perusing.
I try to use different words.
Mighty
and keep you on your toes.
You are a pro.
$3 word right there, ladies and gentlemen. So, Todd McShay, who is a guy that I like a lot on ESPN.com, he's the guy who runs Scouts, Inc., has his next generation draft, 5.0. And so, I'll just give you the first three or four picks, and we'll kind of talk about it. He's got Jokel, the tackle from A&M, going first overall to Kansas City. And, I mean, it appears this guy is a can't-miss prospect. Most people think he belongs right there at the top. Then he's got the Jaguars taking Deion Jordan. Then he's got the Raiders taking Ezekiel Ansah. He's got Lalulu. I know I'm not pronouncing that right. The star from Utah going to Philadelphia, and Eric Fisher, the big offensive tackle from Central Michigan, going to Detroit. So, you know, as we're sitting here talking, I really like Ziggy Ansah. I mean, I think the guy's he's a beast. I don't know as much about Jordan.
Where do they have him going, Ansah?
They've got Jordan going 2 and Ansah going 3. So in a year where there's no quarterbacks to draft, there are the guys who chase them.
Yeah, and I'm looking at NFL.com's mock, and you've got Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, Akbar Bajabiamila, and Gil Brandt.
That's a good pronunciation, by the way. I'm impressed.
Well, thankfully, him and his brother played in the NFL, so we phonetically learned how to pronounce their names. They have Ansah going, I think the highest they have him going is 6th to Cleveland, and that's Gil Brandt. And a couple other guys have him going around 9. So, okay. You know, the interesting thing is that 3 out of the 4 on NFL.com's website all have Deion Jordan. To the Jaguars at number 2.
What's the fourth one have?
Geno Smith going to the Jaguars.
You know, It's interesting.
That's Bucky Brooks.
Ian Rappaport, who works for NFL.com, wrote an article that I loved. It was about the surprise factor that you have at number two. You guys probably read it. It was in the clips that Ryan Robinson sent around. And he was basically, the theme of the story is no one knows what to expect from David Caldwell or from Gus Bradley. It's their first time together. It's their first time in charge. No one knows
what
they'll...
It's a great spot to be in.
Exactly. That was the point. It's an amazingly good spot to be in. And you've got the edge of no one knowing what your track record is, how you like to draft. And so as you're sitting there at two, you know, you can do almost anything if there's a market for the quarterback. You could probably go back if there's a market for the quarterback.
If.
But that's the question.
I mean,
does anybody
if
know?
If there's a market for the quarterback. And I mean, dude, does anybody really think there's a market for the quarterback at number two? No, come on.
I don't. I did when the Raiders were opening their mouth early on. I thought, well, that's good for the Jaguars. But it sure seems like they're trying to force Geno Smith up into the top five based on the fact that he plays the premium position.
There was a scathing report about Geno Smith that was written by a scout that had also written a scathing report about
Cam Newton. Ex-scout.
You know who it is?
Quarterback Cam Newton.
He's the guy that writes the Pro Football Weekly now.
Mm-hmm.
That's he took over for Joel Buxbaum. So he writes their web. And he did. He gave him a he just ripped him apart.
I mean, it didn't rip him. I mean, that's his opinion, and that's what he gathered from talking to different people. You know, and I guess that Mike Mayock said, hey, look, you know, the guy's report is not bad. You know, so kind of got a little backing there. You know, so that's not a good position to be in if you're Geno Smith, where there's a question about your work ethic and preparation.
I told you I was listening to the radio on a drive back to Jacksonville today, and I heard a guy say that he thought that this was going to be the draft where there would not be a quarterback taken in the first round.
No, I don't see
no
that.
No way. It's too important of a position. There may be four drafted in the first round. But there is no way in hell that there will ever be an NFL draft without a quarterback taken in the first round. Write it down.
All right.
Write it down, folks.
I remember the year
there wasn't one
until 26.
It's the most important position in the sport, period. It's the most important position in all of sport.
Someone.
Name me a position in any sport that's more important than quarterback. Silence. It speaks volumes right there.
NHL goalie.
No way.
I agree with you. There's nothing – I mean, that's not a hard argument to win.
It's the hardest position to play in all of sport.
But even when you're looking at these guys, I guess what you're saying is the guys in the bottom 10, someone will take it for a value pick. But other than that, I mean, it sure doesn't appear like anybody believes that any of these guys are surefire locks for the top. In other words, that their grade says they should be first round.
Every year, there's about a third of the National Football League that wants a franchise quarterback. Yeah. Am I right?
No, you're right. There's.
I mean, a third of the game is trying to find a franchise quarterback every year.
And I agree with you that, listen, I think at least one will go in the first round, but I could argue very easily that I'm not sure any of these guys are franchise quarterbacks.
Maybe not.
Well, I guess that's the argument that the guy that I was listening to today was saying, is that when everyone looks at the value, and McShay has just won, he's got Geno Smith, and he's got him going in the top 10. He's got him going 6 to Cleveland.
But, I mean, think about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, here's a guy that fell to the bottom of the first round.
People would like to have that back. Well, sure, but you could do that with a number of guys. I'm sure a lot of people right now are wishing they picked Colin Kaepernick. I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers. They wish they would pick Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. That's the historic one.
Where did Dan Marino go? When Ken O'Brien got drafted in 83, Dan Marino fell.
Either 24 or 27. I'll have to look it up. But he went the bottom third of the draft. There were only 28 at the time, so I think it was probably 24. I'll look.
You take a flyer on a quarterback late in the first round. Easy.
No, I agree. I don't think there's going to be maybe multiple quarterbacks picked in this first round. But listen, and it's not like I've studied the tape. I don't think any of us have. But watching college football this year and seeing clips and glimpses of all these guys, I mean, I'm not convinced any of them are going to be the guy.
I can't believe that you're not backing your guy.
I love Barkley. I think Barkley will be. I think Barkley will be the best of this quarterback group.
Dan Marino was the 27th pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so he almost made it out of the first round. But I think Matt Barkley will be the best quarterback of this group.
I guess
I'm not sure he's a franchise guy that's going to lead teams to the Super Bowl or contend for Super Bowls. But I think he's the best guy.
And look, draft talk, I mean, especially right now with 2 weeks to go. I mean, guys are just dying
round
in the
and
vine. Just smoke signal, smoke signal, smoke signal. And so the theme this year is, does a quarterback belong in the first round? And you could make the case.
Always.
Well, you could stand at the top of the second round, and there's a bunch of guys there. There's the Nassib kid from Syracuse. There's the Barkley kid from Southern California. The people are talking about E.J. Manuel, who I guess is going to go to the draft now, being right there at the bottom of the first, top of the second kind of guy.
But you got to remember, they have 23 guys coming to the draft, but they have guys not all there Thursday night. They have guys there for the second round, and even some guys for the third round, so that they can be there.
But most people think he belongs somewhere, Friday.
Oh, I agree. Second round pick.
Yeah.
But
so do you have to reach in a draft where there's a lot of good big men? Do you have to reach on a quarterback in the first round?
I wouldn't, but. And it then goes to the Jaguars, and most of the mocks have Deion Jordan right now. And I think if you're David Caldwell, and obviously he is not going to give up his hand or show his hand at all.
Right.
But you sit there, and do you – I'm with you, Brian. The Ziggy Ansah guy has so much upside, but do you take a green player with risk of – how does he develop, but with maybe the most upside, or do you take a guy...
Kind of the same argument of Jason Pierre-Paul had.
But that was at 10. Exactly. That's different. That's down...
No, I know.
That's...
But, the argument was still the same.
I agree. Same argument.
A little different.
And that's later than 10. I think it was 15.
Wherever it was. It was in the middle,
Middle. No, it doesn't hurt your argument.
But do you sit there, if you're this team, and do you say, let's take a player, our first draft that, a lot of experience, solid, good player... Obviously, you always hope at number two you can find a great player. Or do you take maybe, from what the tape I've seen, again, a limited tape, Ansah with freakish ability, do you, maybe a little high at two, but the upside might be off the chart?
I've watched YouTube, and again, I'm not looking even as expertly as you are, but I see a big man, Logs, that plays a key position, 270 pounds, who can change direction on a dime, has great force. I mean, plays with strength, plays with power, has quickness and speed. He just maybe lacks the instincts that somebody like you who played the game your whole life had.
Well,
wait a minute. I didn't have the instincts coming out of college.
He had zero instincts.
I was a middle linebacker. I had no clue about playing defensive line.
Even after 9 years, he barely had a clue. But, it goes...
So what are you trying to say?
You at least had football instincts, and this guy's still learning it.
Well, and we're about done. But then you look at some of the other positions that are up there, defensive tackle. Do you take a Sharif Floyd, who is risen and is loved, or Star Lutui, a defensive tackle at number two? I mean, is that the impact player you're looking for, or do you go to the rush end, a guy like Deion Jordan who can create havoc? I mean, it's going to be very interesting Thursday night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time. Joe, as always, have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Jaguars This Week.